Turn to the book of Luke, chapter 16. Book of Luke, chapter 16, we'll read verses 19 through verse 23. There was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. There was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate, that is, the rich man's gate. And Lazarus, he was full of sores. And desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table, moreover the dogs came and licked his sores. It came to pass that the beggar died, and was carried by the angels in Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died, and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. What we've just read is but a portion, the account given by Christ of a rich man, unnamed, and a man named Lazarus. The account goes through verse 31. It opens with, there was a certain rich man. And then verse 20, and there was a certain beggar named Lazarus. We're told in verse 19 that the rich man was clothed in purple, fine linen, fared sumptuously every day. We're told in verses 20 and 21 concerning Lazarus that he was laid at the rich man's gate. He was full of sores. The desire of his heart was just some crumbs from the rich man's table. In God's mercy, really, the dogs came and licked his sores. We read in verse 22, and it came to pass that the beggar died. And we also read, the rich man also died. But notice that it's not merely that they died, but there is the conjunction and. Verse 22, it came to pass that the beggar died and. Didn't end. Also, the rich man died and was buried. But that's not the end either. Because verse 23, we have that word again. And. So they both died. Both cases, after they died, there was a continuation. And. In other words, their deaths were not the end. Death is the passing of from one stage to another. It is a transition from time to eternity. From ignorance and unbelief to the realities of eternity. Notice concerning the beggar, Lazarus, the beggar died and was carried by the angels in Abraham's bosom, which is heaven. And notice concerning the rich man, and he died and was buried, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments. The rest of the passage speaks of the excruciating and agonizing details of the rich man in hell. In our text, both of these men died, and they continued in one of two places, heaven or hell. Two real, literal, and actual places. Know this for sure. There is a heaven, and there is a hell. They are both actual places. They are literal and actual destinations of all humanity. Heaven or hell. You can search the Word of God from front to back, and I assure you that you will find no other destinies given for mankind other than heaven or hell. Man, in his depraved mind, has imagined that there is the destiny of non-existence, or the destiny of purgatory, or the destiny of reincarnation. But these are all the inventions and the conceptions of man in his endeavor to escape the reality of a place called hell. Jesus said in Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14, there is a way that leadeth to destruction, and there is a way that leadeth to life. And everyone here, with no exceptions, is on their way to heaven or hell. Both are very plainly and indisputably taught in the Word of God. And everyone here is going to spend eternity in one of those two places. Both, heaven and hell, are the eternal destinies of all their occupants. There is an inescapable certainty of death and eternity. Now, it's not our intention in this message to speak on heaven or hell. But know this, both exist. And you right now, at this very moment, are headed for one or the other. You will spend eternity in one or the other. But in this message, we want to address the unsaved. And we want to center our thoughts on those words, died and. Died and. The subject of the message this morning is ready to die. Ready to die. You either are or you aren't. And you're going to die. Let's look at, first of all, the fact of death. The beggar died. The rich man also died. That's very solemn. Concerning their deaths, we read, and it came to pass. It came to pass. There came a definite time that both of these men died. They differed greatly in their positions in life. They differed greatly in their lifestyles. But they both died. The rich man lived in luxury. Every day he enjoyed the finest shelter. And there's Lazarus lying at his gate. Every day the rich man enjoyed the finest clothes. And there's Lazarus in rags. Every day the rich man enjoyed the finest comforts of life. And there's Lazarus, the dogs, licking his sores. Every day the rich man enjoyed the finest food. And there's Lazarus simply desiring the crumbs from the rich man's table. As far as we know, the rich man enjoyed a healthy life. I believe you can safely assume that he had many friends, or at least acquaintances. Probably looked upon with great respect, while Lazarus, I'm sure, was looked upon with great disgust. But none of that really mattered, because it came to pass, the beggar died. And it came to pass that the rich man also died. Death was inevitable for both. Death was inescapable to both. Their position in life, their condition in life, had no bearing upon the fact that they both died. We see all through the Word of God death. In Genesis 5, you have the genealogy of Adam. And 8 times, we read of a man who lived X amount of years, and 8 times it is said, and he died. And he died. And one day, unless the Lord comes first, and that'll be the only exception, it will be said of you, and he died, and she died. We read in Genesis 9, verse 29, and all the days of Noah were 950 years, and he died. In Genesis chapter 11, verse 28, and Haran died before his father Terah in the land of his nativity. Genesis 11, verse 32, Terah died. So there you have a child dying before a parent. It happens. Genesis 23 and verse 2, and Sarah died. In Genesis 25, verse 8, Abraham died. Genesis 25, verse 17, Ishmael died. In Genesis 35 and verse 8, Deborah, Rebekah's nurse, died. In Genesis 35, verse 19, Rachel died. In Genesis 35, verse 29, Isaac died. You read in Genesis 36, verses 33 through 39, of 5 individuals, and it says, and they died each time. In Genesis 50 and verse 16, Joseph died. In Exodus 2 and verse 23, the king of Egypt died. In Deuteronomy 30, verse 16, Aaron died. In Deuteronomy 34 and verse 5, Moses, the servant of the Lord, died. In Joshua 24, 29, Joshua, the servant of the Lord, died. And on and on and on you can go throughout the Word of God. But the ones mentioned in these scriptures that we just referred to, they all lived their lives. They had different experiences. Some had different lifestyles. They lived under varying circumstances. They lived at different times. They lived in different places. But the same is said of each one of them. They died. They died. From all of this, we see some of these were great servants of God. Death spares no rank. The king of Egypt died. Death spares no condition of man. Death spares no calling. Death spares no profession. Death spares no age. Old people die. Infants die. Death spares no age. Death spares no family. We've all experienced death in our family, and we will again. Death spares no family. Death makes no difference between the sexes. Sarah died, Abraham died. Death spares no place. And in every case, death cuts off from possessions. And it severs the strongest bands of love. It takes away the wife from the husband from the wife, mothers and fathers from children, children from mothers and fathers. And death puts an end to all earthly plans. It puts an end to all earthly projects. It puts an end to all anticipated pleasures in this life. Death is inevitable in its reach. And it preys upon all mankind, sending them forth into eternity. We've all known people that have died. And it is, they died, and it wasn't the end. Death is a very solemn event. It is the most solemn of all events. Even when a child of God leaves this life and you know they've gone on to be into glory, when you watch them take that last breath, it's a very solemn event. Though death is a very solemn event, it's an everyday experience. Do you know of a day in your lifetime that there wasn't an obituary in the newspaper? They're there every day. Yet people want to forget the fact of death, making every attempt to dislodge it from their minds. People will say, if something happens to me, what do you mean by that? You mean death. But people can't bring themselves to say that. Most people. Here is a fact. Apart from those who will be alive when Christ returns, you are going to die. You are going to die. But I take vitamins. You are going to die. I drink bottled water. You are going to die. I buckle up. You are going to die. It's inevitable. Except for those who are alive at the coming of Christ, you are going to die. Well, I don't like to think about it. Well, that's honest. But you are going to die. Try to ignore it all you want and as much as you are able. You are going to die. To debar death from our thoughts does not render us immortal. Nor does it dismiss us from its inevitability. We are going to die. Death is a constant. It is a common experience. And it is an imminent reality. And it is absolutely vain to shut your eyes upon the reality of death. Every time you see a funeral procession, one day that will be you. Every time you drive by a cemetery, one day that will be you. Died and buried and death is coming. And you are going to die. We read in 2 Samuel 14 and verse 14, "For we must needs die." It's a must. Notice in Psalm 49, Psalm 49, verses 10 through verse 12. "For he seeth that wise men die, likewise the fool, and the brutish person perish, and leave their wealth to others. Their inward thought is that their houses shall continue forever." You're going to die. "And their dwelling places to all generations. They call their lands after their own names. Nevertheless, man being in honor abideth not. He is like the beast that perish." We're going to die. Psalm 89, verse 48, "What man is he that liveth and shall not see death?" Ecclesiastes 1, verse 4, "One generation passeth and another generation cometh." Death is a way that God makes room. That sounds crude, but it's true. One generation passes, another comes. Ecclesiastes 9, verse 5, "For the living know that they shall die." And that's true. Everyone here knows that they're going to die. But you don't want to be reminded of it. And you don't want to think about it. Death is an appointment. Job 14 and verse 5, speaking of man, "Seeing his days are determined. The number of his months are with thee. Thou hast appointed his bounds. He cannot pass." Genesis 30, verse 23, hear Job say, "For I know that thou wilt bring me to death and to the house appointed for all living." Ecclesiastes 3, verse 2, "There's a time to be born, and there's a time to die." Read those words again. A time to die. Hebrews 9, verse 27, "It is appointed unto man once to die." So every one of us has an appointed number of days, hours, and minutes. That's true of the person sitting next to you. It's true of the person sitting behind you. It's true of the person sitting in front of you. It's true of the person sitting down the pew from you. Each one has an appointed amount of time allotted to them. That is true concerning each person in your family. That is true concerning each person in your circle of friends. That is true including every person in your circle of acquaintances. They all have an appointed and an allotted amount of time. A divine appointment has been made in God's calendar. And you know what? He has not sought your counsel or mine. He made this appointment without coming to an agreement concerning our schedule. Now, you and I make appointments all the time, and we come to an agreement with whoever we're making the appointment with regarding our schedules. This is an appointment made. It has no regard to your schedule. It's a bilateral It's not a bilateral arrangement. It has been unilaterally made by God Himself and God alone. It's God's appointment in consequence of sin, a part of the sentence passed upon man. You see, man is a sinner, and he has earned the wages of his sin. Romans 5 verse 12, we read, "Wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned." And we read in Romans 6 and verse 23 that the wages of sin is death. On a death certificate, there is a space that says cause of death. And you know what? The real answer is never given. It'll say cancer or Parkinson's or whatever. That's not the real answer. The real answer is the same every time. Sin. That's why we die. Because of the sin of man. We have an appointment with death. There is a time fixed that we must die. And the surgeon's experience and the physician's knowledge and all the advancements in medicine and technology and the best of hospitals in the world will not keep you here 1 second longer than your appointed time. We read in Ecclesiastes 8 and verse 8, "There is no man that hath the power over the spirit to retain the spirit. Neither hath he power in the day of death." You are going to die. The date and the time has been set by Almighty God. You are going to die. The exception of those alive at the coming of the Lord. You are going to die. You're going to die at some time, in some place, and somehow. It could be at any time. David said in 1 Samuel 20 and verse 3, "There is but a step between me and death." Do you understand that? A step. A step. That's not a great distance. There is but a step between me and death. How short the distance between life and death. And may I remind you, every year, every month, every week, every day, and every moment lessens the distance. That distance is less than it was when you walked in those doors. You are going to die. The distance between life and death. Oh, how short. We read in Jeremiah 23 and verse 16, "This year thou shalt die." This year, thou shalt die. Now that will be true of millions and millions and millions of people. Why not you? Why not me? What makes us think it won't be? We seem to think that the lungs that breathe today will breathe tomorrow. And the eyes that saw today will see tomorrow. But you don't know that. You do not know that. Death is a fierce invader. And it could snatch you at any time. We will die. At some time, in some place. Well, I'd like to die at home. Guess what? You don't get the choice. You might die at home. You might die in a hospital. You might die in a nursing home. You might die at work. You might die in recreation. You might die in the road. You might die out in the field. You might die in the yard. You might die at a restaurant. You might die in a store. You might die in a church building. But be sure of this, you are going to die somewhere. One of these days, you're going to go someplace, and it'll be your last place on this earth. And that could be the next place that you go. You are going to die. I am going to die. At some time, at some place, and in some manner. There is a time, there is a place, and there is a manner. Your heart will stop beating. Your brain will stop sending electrical signals. Your pulse will cease. And your breathing will stop. But that's not the end. They died. And you are going to die. And it is absolute mindlessness, madness to act as if you're not. It's absolute insanity to act as if you are not going to die. Revelation 6 and verse 8, John saw and he wrote of a pale horse. And his name that sat upon him was Death. And then there's that conjunction, and. And. And hell followed with him. So riding on a horse, and his name is Death. Death there is personified. Man has always personified death, the Grim Reaper, so on. The horseman called Death, I want you to think about this, has been gaining ground on you ever since your birth. Been gaining ground on you ever since your birth. You're not going to outrun him. Do you understand, lost sinner? Death is gaining ground on you. And for the unsaved, in hell followed. Listen. The horseman of death is gaining on you. And one day will overtake you, dropping you into hell for eternity. That's serious business. He's getting closer and closer. Closer. You can do everything you want to do to try and escape. But one day, he's going to overtake you. And he died. The fact of death presents a great danger to those who are not ready to die. You see, the rich man and Lazarus, they both entered this life, as we all do, sinners before a holy and righteous God. They both entered this life, as we all do, needing a Savior from sin. The psalmist David said in Psalm 51 and 5, I was shapen in iniquity and in sin did my mother conceive me. And it is declared in Romans 3 and verse 9 that all are under sin. And in Romans 3 and verse 10, there is none righteous, there is none righteous, and then for emphasis, no, not one. And then in Romans 3 and verse 12, they are all gone out of the way. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. And it is summed up in Romans 3, verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Regardless of your thoughts about the matter, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Regardless of your genealogy, regardless of your upbringing, regardless of your religion, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Regardless of all your good intentions, this is the diagnosis from God, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's nothing more dreadful, there's nothing more tragic, more dismal, more horrific diagnosis anywhere. You can hear tomorrow that you have cancer, or you have such and such a disease, and you'll say, what a horrible diagnosis. Here's one worse, for all have sinned. We have sinned. There is no worse diagnosis. And that needs to be viewed in the light, in the context of the glory of God. He's holy. He's perfectly righteous. He's pure. And He hates all sin. He loathes everything that is contrary to His holiness. And because He's holy, and because He's righteous, He will never, ever minimize sin. And we read, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Do you have any idea what that means? We have all sinned. What that entails? A holy God demands absolute perfection. And we have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We read in Romans 1 verse 18, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness. And there is none righteous, no, not one. Romans 2, verse 1, it says we are inexcusable. Inexcusable. And at the end of Romans 3, verse 19, we read those words, guilty before God. A guilty and condemned sinner is in great danger. Oh, you might be enjoying life, and you might not ever think of death. But I'm here to tell you today that you are in great danger, because that horseman named death can overtake you today. You are in great danger. You are going to die. And you are unprepared to die. Death is gaining ground. It will soon overtake you. Hebrews 9 verse 27 is pointed on the man wants to die, but after this, the judgment. Death is not the end. You're here and unsaved, I pray that you'd feel the danger that you're in. If you're here and unsaved, you may think, Brother Dan, you're making me uncomfortable. Good. You ought to be uncomfortable. You're in danger. You're in grave danger. Can you hear? Can you feel? The horse and its rider, death. He's coming. He's gaining ground. You may run a little faster, but you can't outrun death. He's coming. He's gaining ground. And know this. You may say, well, that might all be true, but I'm no worse than so-and-so. And I've tried to live a good life, and I'm doing the best I can. And I encourage you to be a good person. But know this. Romans 3, verse 20, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in His sight. In other words, you cannot change your condition, a sinner, by obedience, by religion, by baptism, or any other means you might come up with. Someone says, well, that's your interpretation. Then read it for yourself. By the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified. How do you interpret that? Read it. Read what it says. The sinner cannot of themselves set themselves free from the guilt, from the condemnation of sin. Not possible. That brings us to our last point. But God does have a remedy. Unsaved sinner, you're going to die. You're not ready to die. You're not ready. Say, well, I'm all prepared. Cemetery plots paid for. Was buried, and there's something coming after. Well, my funeral's all been arranged. My family's not going to have to do anything. I've taken care of everything. I'm as prepared as I can be. No, you're not. Because you're going to live on. And there's only one way. To be prepared. And outside of God's remedy, no one is ready to die. God's remedy is Jesus Christ. Jesus said in John 10 and verse 9, I am the door. The door. By me, the door. If any man enter in, he shall be saved. John 14, verse 6, he says, I am the way. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You say, well, I don't agree with that. You'll have your chance to take it up with God. I advise you not to do that. There is a way. There is a way for the guilty sinner to be spared, to be accepted by God. And that way is Jesus. Unsaved sinner, you can die at any time. The distance between you and in hell, he lift up his eyes, is but a step. And all the years, and the months, and the weeks, and the days, and the moments, lessens that reality in hell. He lifted up his eyes. But we read in 1 Timothy 1 and verse 15 that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. He's the door, he's the way. He came into the world to save sinners. God demands perfection. Well, I'm doing the best I can. It's not good enough. Well, I'm not as bad as so-and-so. It's not good enough. We're talking about a holy and righteous God. It's not good enough. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. You and I need a righteousness better than our own. And the only righteousness acceptable to God is the perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ. And He came to this sin-cursed earth and He lived a perfect life of righteousness on behalf of sinners. He said, "Here is my righteousness, put it on the account of so-and-so." As if they lived that life. The only one who could pay the sin debt was Jesus Christ. And He went to the cross, and He bore the full punishment of sins for the sins of sinners. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. There is no greater love. Then Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. There is hope. There is hope. But only in Christ. Sinners with a lifetime record of sin against a holy and righteous God can only be ready to die by realizing that there is nothing in them that will ever make them acceptable to God. And trust in the righteousness of Christ. Unsaved sinner, you need to realize today you're not good enough. There's nothing you can do. And you need to realize that Jesus Christ is perfect. And He lived a perfect life of righteousness. And you need to cling to that righteousness of Jesus Christ. You need to realize today that you have a sin debt that you can never pay. You cannot pay it in time, and you cannot pay it in eternity. You cannot pay the sin debt. But there's one who did. Jesus Christ. Today I cling to the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And I cling to the fact that He paid my sin debt. You're going to die. It's getting closer, closer and closer. You may have years left. You may have decades left. But you're going to die. And Amos 4 verse 12 says, prepare to meet thy God. Are you prepared? There's only one way you can be. Jesus. Are you prepared for your inevitable meeting with God? Well, I don't believe that I will meet with God. You're in for a shock. You're in for a shock. Man will stand before the great white throne judgment and they will want to flee, but there's no place to hide. You are going to die. Unsaved sinner, go home, look in the mirror, and say to the person in the mirror, you are going to die. You are going to die. Are you ready? If you know not Christ, you're not ready. I don't say these things to be mean. I say these things because we're concerned for your soul. Well, you think you're better. No, I know I'm not. But I know the one who is. Jesus Christ. And He's your only hope. Remember Jeremiah? This year you will die. That may be so of someone here. I don't think there's been a single year that I've been here that I haven't done funerals. Every year. What makes you think that it won't be you? Are you ready? Brother Jim, if you'd come and lead us a verse of song.